We're doing harvest today. We're thinking about giving thanks to God for his goodness to us, for his provision. We're going to be using the story of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. So we'll be thinking a little bit about that during our service. We've got various things going on. This is always an interactive service. You'll get to be a little bit crafty. If you don't want to be crafty, I don't mean like that. I don't mean crafty like that, you know, in a bad way, but using crafts. That's good. We have lots of apples here. They're described like this, windfall apples. How many of us have been enjoying Storm Alley this week? You know, I do life with Storm Alley every day. That's the only mention this morning that you'll get. So we've got all these windfall apples. So if you're kind of into doing creative things with apples and making whatever it is that you make with apples, then there's loads and loads here, some from the rectory garden and some from all over. Various people have contributed. So please do take them away at the end and make use of them. We give thanks to his goodness. And here's the key verse for this morning. Let's just say this together. The Lord kept the promise that his prophet Elijah had made, and she did not run out of flour or oil. So we give thanks to the Lord for his goodness to us as a church and to all of us as people made in his image. Let's stand together and we're going to sing our first song. Let's pray as we stand. Father, we thank you for bringing us together as part of your family, both here on earth and in heaven. Thank you for one another. We thank you for all the good things that you give to us. And we come with thankfulness this morning for all the goodness that you show to us. Help us now, as we spend time with one another, to be conscious that we are spending time with you. Come and be present. We ask for your help where we are weak. Where we feel strong, help us to rely on you and to trust in you more. And may we know all of the help that you have for us as we meet now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sit down. Now, let's get crafty, shall we? Are you feeling crafty? Are you excited at the prospect of being crafty? Now, here's what we're going to do. You see a verse. One of my favorite verses from the letter to the Hebrews is that God is always with us. And thankfulness is something that we should exhibit, we should show all the time, isn't it? So when, you know, you're in a restaurant and the waiter comes or the waitress comes and serves you your meal, when they bring the food, you say, thank you. When your dad does something for you to help you out, you always automatically say, thank you. Don't you? Yeah? When mum cleans up your room, which is really your job, isn't it?
Yes.
You always say, no, you don't. Oh, dear. So thankfulness is something that we shouldn't just do today when we're thinking about harvest. I mean, we're going to sing We Plough the Fields and Scatter. Do you know that song? And I love that song, except for this. I haven't done much ploughing, and I haven't done much scattering this year. Have you? How many of you have? I mean, there might be someone who's into ploughing. In your garden, you might be doing a little bit of that. I've got the tulip bulbs to do this afternoon. There's a standing joke about me and flowers and stuff. But we don't do that much. But, you know, when you drive through the countryside and you see the farmers in all weathers. I was driving up the A1 on Wednesday through the remnants of Storm Alley. And they were the farmers in their fields and their tractors, you know, turning over the soil, getting ready for the next crop and so on. They worked really, really hard on our behalf. But the thing about the Lord is he's always providing for us. He's always giving to us, and he's always present and available to us. So we're going to remind ourselves of that. So we've got this verse. Let's say this verse. God has said, never will I leave you. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let's just say it again. God has said, never will I leave you. This is a promise. And you see, we're going to be thinking about God's promises to us this morning. This is a promise from the New Testament. God has said he is always with you. If you've had a rubbish week this week, let's just do a straw poll. Have you had a great week this week? Have you had an okay week this week? Has your week been utter rubbish? Might be the same for, you know, you can go through, different days can be like that. Even in the midst of the difficult times, God has said he's always with us. So what we're going to do to remind us of this is we're going to take a peg. If you could take a peg each, okay? Now, you might have to share on some tables, and if you've decided to sit in the pews and the chairs, you don't need to do this, but we encourage everybody to get involved, so you might need to find a peg. So if you get a peg, all right, please do not hurt anyone with your peg. The temptation to do this is very, very great. I'm looking at various people that I would love to just pinch with a peg. Don't do that. It's a bad thing, okay? So don't go there. But what we'd like you to do, you've got some pens on the table, and what we'd like you to do is to decorate your peg with the pens, but write these words on the peg. You need to squeeze them in, okay, on both sides. I want you to write these words, and if you can get the verse reference in as well. So decorate the pegs as much as you like, and once we're done, I'll explain what we're going to do with them, all right? So we're going to put these words on the pegs, each peg, all right? If you're at a table and you don't have any pens, what you'll need to do is be friendly with the table next to you and say, could we borrow some of your pens, okay, and share them out, all right? And please don't steal the pens at the end. I would like them to come back and to be available for the next service too, okay? Not that anybody would steal them. I think you all did that really, really well. And what I'd like you to do is to give what you have done away to someone else. Okay? So give it to someone. And maybe don't give it. You might want to cross the room and give it to some. You might feel, I want to give it to somebody I don't know. I've never spoken to before. Okay? So give it to someone else, and then I'll tell you what we're going to do with them. Okay, have you managed to give it to someone? And what I'd like you to do, what we'd like you to do now, having swapped it, is everyone listening? Yes. Mike's listening. Okay. What I'd like you to do now is to take it and attach it to yourself somewhere. Okay? Now, the big challenge will be this. This is the challenge for you. Yeah. Just come and join us at the front. Come and stand up. Okay. Because you're really going to like the challenge that I'm going to offer you now. Okay. You can come as well. Okay. Okay. Now, the challenge was going to be this. Do you remember, those of you who are regulars here, do you remember when we did these? We did the little things that the little leather thongs that we tied around our wrists. And the idea was that we would tie knots in it and it would be people that we were praying for, that they might come to know the Lord. I've had to replace, I've got lots of them left. If you would like one, we can give you a replacement. Mine fell apart yesterday, so I've replaced it. So I've been wearing that since that service every day. I get really upset when it breaks and I lose it. So I thought the challenge would be that we might take the pegs, and the challenge would be, you don't have to do this, but keep your pegs on. Now you've done it. Is it sore? Yeah, that's why. Keep it on. So the challenge was going to be, I would encourage you to go out and keep the peg on you all week. Now, I could be wrong here. I could be completely off the mark here. But I sense that for you two, that challenge would not work terribly well, given where we placed the pegs. But the challenge remains, you know, can you take it with you and hold it with you? And you can, if you can wear it discreetly, stick it on your clothes. Just to be a reminder to you, Bill McGill, you stand up as well. Do you know, What I love is that there are young people who are physically young, and there are young people who are very, very, very old. And it's a great thing, isn't it, that we can retain that. So take the peg and try and keep it on you this week. You know, if you wear a jacket, stick it in your inside pocket. If you're really bold, you'll wear it outside. If you're really, really mad, you'll wear it on your ear all week. Somebody might come along and offer you assistance and take you to a special place if you do that. So be prepared for that. So, but really the key thing is to remind you, wherever you find yourself, at home, at work, at play, at school, that the Lord God is with you. He never leaves you. He's always with you. Okay? And that's a place, that's the beginning of us being thankful, actually, that we remember that he's with us all the time. That's the greatest thing to be thankful for. Okay, thank you for your help. You can take off that peg now, because what will happen is you'll develop a dimple like the great ancient Hollywood actor Kirk Douglas. That's an old cultural reference this morning. Who remembers Kirk Douglas? Okay, I usually try and give a modern one. That's an old one for the older people among us. Okay. Right, we're going to sing again, shall we? You happy to sing? No drums in this one. Just so that you know. But we've got the box instead. It's not proper drums. Okay. Let's stand together and we're going to sing again. Blessed be the name. We are going to have our very own game show. Anyone like game shows? Do you watch Pointless or anything like that? Yeah? Okay, so we're going to have a game show. I need to form two teams of three. So who would like to be in a team to play this game? This game is called Empty or Full. I'm hoping to sell this to the BBC if it works. So, okay, so if you want to come, I need six people. Okay, we might have two older folk. I mean, who else is behind us? Peter, you come as well. We need one more then, I think. Okay, form yourself into two teams. Okay, one more person. Who's keen? Ruby's coming. Okay, three people over here. Three people over here. Okay, so this game is called Empty or Full. Do you want to stand up on the stair and face that way? Now, the key to this is to not look nervous, okay, and to look like you're actually enjoying it. If you sort form a line either side of me, and as you look out at people, let's try and smile and look like we might be enjoying this, okay? That really is helpful for them because it encourages them to smile as well, okay? So are we enjoying it yet? I love working with Ruby. So here's what we're going to do. I've got some things I need to do to sort you out here as I explain how the game works, all right? And we're going to tell a Bible story is what we're going to do. And I'm going to give you that. You that. And you that. Okay? And similarly, each of you get this. Okay. So it's a quiz, and it's telling the story of Elijah meeting a widow, okay, and about God's provision. That's what we're going to do. Now, there are prizes available at the end of this. So the prizes, I've gone to great expense to provide prizes, and I thought we would get some lovely naked cocoa orange, four raw fruit and nut, whole food bars, one of your five a day, no added sugar, wheat, dairy, and gluten-free, 100% natural ingredients. Ooh. Is the reaction, is the prize exciting you yet?
Yeah.
Okay. You like that?
I really like that.
Do you?
Yeah.
Because it's like healthy and stuff. Okay. Guys? You happy with that?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, so for the healthy young people of St. Thomas's Church, it's very exciting that they're excited by the prizes. If you're really, really good, for the older people, welcome to the ambassador's reception. No expense spared at St. Thomas's Church. So, you know, if you're not happy about these prizes and you'd much rather have the Ferrero Rocher ruby, you're not tempted in the slightest. No? Well, we'll wait and see how that goes. So, there's the prizes. Ooh. Now, what we're going to do is I'm going to ask a whole series of questions, and you have to give me the answer. When you give me the answer, this is where it will get really messy. You'll have seen these. We bought out the entire stock of flour in Kirstorfen, okay, for the purpose of this service. And you wouldn't have seen the looks as the shelves were emptied of packs of flour in a certain store not a million miles from here. So you'll have noted, did you notice that? Were you looking at what was up front? Were you being observant? And so we've got these packs of flour. There are six questions, and each question has a pack of flour attached to it, basically. So what we'd like you to do, I'm going to regret this, I sense, but what we'd like you to do, if you get the question right, you get to empty the pack of flour into the plastic tub, okay? So theoretically, see, some of you are looking and saying that's going to make a terrible mess. But these young people are terribly tidy. They tidy up themselves to keep the rooms tidy. Mum doesn't, dad doesn't need to clear up the room. What's the problem? What's going to happen? Please don't worry about it. It'll be fine. And if they do make a mess, they're going to get the Hoover out, aren't you? Yeah? And do some cleaning. I have a theory that will get you to clean the whole church. But anyway, so you understand that? So if you get it right, you get to open this up very, very carefully and empty it into the box, okay? All right? Are you excited yet? Am I exciting you? Okay. Okay. Now, so what you need to do is you answer with ABC, okay, and you hold up the ABC, all right? Don't shout it out or anything because you don't want the other team. You get a chance to confer, okay, and talk to one another about what the answer might be. And notice we're doing this without actually reading the passage, okay? So it's kind of based on what you know. You might pick up what's happening. You might know already, but you might not know. So you need to talk with one another, and that's why you might get it wrong, and then I'll have to sort it out, okay? All right, so let's welcome the teams. Let's cheer for them. Now, the thing I forgot to add is at the end of this, what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite you. No, I'm not going to tell you what we're going to do at the end. We'll wait until we get to that point, and then there's more responsibility. Okay, so here we go. Question number one is this. Elijah was a tax collector, B, a YouTuber. Do you know what a YouTuber is? Okay, young people know what a YouTuber is. Old people, do you know what a YouTuber is? Okay, are you familiar with that? Anyone not know what a YouTuber is? Phil Busby doesn't know. Phil, you surprised me with that. So what we're going to do with that is, if I can find the microphone, maybe a young person could explain to us what a YouTuber is. This is the modern culture bit. We had Kirk Douglas earlier in the service. Now we're going to... Who would like to explain what a YouTuber is? Anyone? You guys? Anyone? Anyone keen?
Someone who videos themselves. And
hold on, let's just get... Can we have the sound on the handheld, Triona? Okay, thank you.
1, 2, 1, 2.
Someone who videos herself and then posts it for everyone to see.
Okay, so
on YouTube.
So the grown-ups would call that person a sort of narcissist, wouldn't we? Ask your parents what a narcissist is later on. Okay. Okay, so that's what a YouTuber is. So Elijah was A, a tax collector, B, a YouTuber, or C, a prophet of God. Okay, you need to decide. Hold on. You need to decide. Decide amongst yourselves. Okay? And you both said C, a prophet of God, which is the right answer. So let's go to put the flower in the box. This will be fun. I don't think I want to. Oh, you see. You see. Let's not play this anymore. You just take the Ferrero Rocher straight off. Really? My big worry is that you're going to get too many questions right and we're going to overflow with flour. We'll try to avoid that. Okay. Well done. Let's take the packets and we'll take them out, okay? And we'll have a little bit of a mess. Okay. Right, question two. Well, let me go on a bit further, okay? So Elijah was a prophet of God in the Old Testament. The story is this. God was outraged at King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, and he sent Elijah to tell them that if they didn't worship God, he'd stop the rain and cause a drought. They didn't worship God, so there was a severe drought in the land. Elijah, however, followed God's advice and found a spot near the Jordan River. He could drink water from the river, and unlike the rest of the country, he didn't starve. So, that's the first question. The second question is coming up. Question number two is this. Why didn't Elijah starve? A, he scavenged for food and killed animals nearby to eat them. B, he was brought food by ravens. Or C, he nipped to McDonald's for a Big Mac and fries. Okay, hold it up high. So you're both saying B. Well done, that is the right answer. Well done. Right, question number three. Actually, what I'm going to do is this. I forgot to add the last bit, which is this. So Elijah was fed by birds every morning and every evening. And after a while, the river dried up and God sent Elijah to a town called Zarephath. So here's the next question. God told Elijah that A, there was a widow who lived there who was going to look after him. B, the nearest Tesco, there are other stores available, was in Zarephath. Or C, Elijah might find some wheat in a field there. Okay, we're both saying A, and that is the right answer. So let's do put in the flour. There was a widow. You can also cheer, you don't need to just clap, okay? There was a widow in Zarephath whom God had told to care for him. When Elijah arrived in the town, he saw the widow gathering wood for a fire. He asked her for a drink, and while she was going to find the water, he also asked her for a piece of bread. Okay, question four. What was her reply? What was the widow's reply? A, of course, I've just made a fresh loaf. Do you want it with jam or cheese? B, I haven't got any bread, but my neighbors might have some. Go and knock on their door and ask them. Or C, bread. I haven't got any bread left. All I've got is a handful of flour and a tiny amount of oil. I was just making a last meal for my son and I before we die of starvation. What's the answer? C? You're both saying C. That is the right answer. So the poor lady had nothing left. The drought had so devastated the land that both herself and her son were close to starvation. She was preparing their last supper when Elijah asked her for food. Elijah told her not to worry. He asked her to go home and make a small loaf of bread from the flour and oil she had left, and then to cook for herself and her son. Okay? This is closer than I had thought it might be. Question five.
I haven't been doing that.
There's a suggestion of cheating. Question five. What did Elijah promise her? A, her jar of flour and jug of oil would never run out again until rain comes again. B, she'd have a job with the local bakery forever. Or C, her son would grow tall, strong, and handsome because of her tasty bread. What are you saying? A. You should have got that one wrong. It might have helped me out a little bit. And the answer is A. Now, this is where it gets really, really interesting. I planned it like this, of course, to see how few disasters we would create. So the answer is A. Elijah recognized that the widow had nothing left to give, but promised that if she gave him some bread, then she would never run out of flour or oil again. This is exciting, isn't it? And you're getting photographed as well. Okay. Now, I suspect number six is not going to work, okay, without us having a real disaster, okay? So, question number six. You've not been looking over my shoulder, have you? Have you? Have you been reading the answers? You sure? Right. I'm getting really nervous now, particularly for the next bit. Question number six. What do you think the lady did? She A, laughed at Elijah and called him a crazy man. Strangely, people do that to me quite a lot. I don't know quite why. B, she followed Elijah's advice exactly. Or C, she took a selfie with Elijah and posted it on Instagram. Okay? What are we saying? B? We're both saying B. She followed Elijah's advice exactly. And that's right. Hold on. I really think it's not going to work. And it's unnecessary because it's a complete draw. However, what we're going to do is I want you to do this, all right? I want you to try and tell the story to the people in front of you using the cards, okay? So basically, all of you get a prize, all right? Okay, so you take that. That's your prize. The supreme prize, the Ferrero Rocher.
That's the harvest.
Sorry?
Give it to the harvest.
Give it to the harvest. You're going to give it away?
Yeah.
Before you've even won it. That's a beautiful thing, Ruby. Very moving. We'll need to see what the rest of the team say. Okay. Because the team might be more selfish than that. Okay. But it's a beautiful thing. So what we're going to do is I would like you to take the cards and put them in the right order and then tell the story, read out the story to the people in the church. Okay. As loudly as you can. Okay. You understand what you're going to do? So a little bit of acting here, and you might want to spread it around, but I want you to shout it out to the people, retell the story again to the people of the congregation, all right? You got to find it as well. That was clever, wasn't it? You see, this is to create as much mess as possible. There was method in this. So there should be six cards in there. I wonder who among us is full of thankfulness for this time together, but has been so distracted and is thinking, I'm going to go and get the Hoover at the end of the service and do some cleaning. You know, some of us, that's our calling, isn't it? We're good at it and we need to do it. Are you guys not finished yet with your digging? Have you managed to get all six? Finally, okay. So, okay. Yeah, this was even more of a disaster than I imagined it would be. Up from the ashes grow the roses of success. Remember that song? Chitty chitty bang bang. Let's sing. No. So what I want you to do is to stand right here. Look, okay, so let me explain what we're going to do. This is where you get to preach a little bit. So we're getting the young people in the church to do a bit of preaching. So I want you to stand about here and project and tell the story, all right? And I'm going to judge which of you does it best, okay? And I'll give the supreme prize to the ones that do it best. Okay, so you're standing here. You feel comfortable doing it?
So the questions
are in order, and the bit in bold is the bit that we want you to read out. How many have you got? Have you lost one? Ah, well, here we go. I can't help you. You need to get it out. Oh, well done.
Is that all?
Have you got six? Right. Okay. You okay? Just Talk amongst yourselves, okay? Young people have taken over church for this bit of the service together. Right, okay, you ready? You ready? It should be quite simple because they're numbered 1 to 6, okay? I've made it as simple as, but I did think about taking the numbers off to make it difficult, okay? So we need to be really quiet. You know how like when the preacher's up the front and you all sit really quiet, nobody talks to each other and everybody's really, you know how we all do that? Nobody falls asleep. You're all really interested in what's happening. Nobody does that. That's what we're going to do. Okay, you ready? And we're not going to amplify you. We're just going to let you shout it out. Okay, so you're like preaching it, sister and brothers. Okay? So, you ready? Okay, so come to the front. Come a bit nearer. Stand up. Be expressive. Okay, and tell the story. Again, are you listening? You don't need to do it in unison because we'll pick it up as you go along. You know what you're doing? Are you a bit reluctant? We'll do it separately. We'll do it twice, okay? If you want to do it. I was going to do it at the same time, but... Okay, hit us.
God was outraged at King Ahab and the Queen Jezebel, and he sent Elijah to tell them that if they didn't worship God, he would stop the rain and cause a drought. They didn't worship God, so there was a severe drought in the land. Elijah, however, followed God's advice and found a spot near the Jordan River. He could drink water from the river, and unlike the rest of the country, he didn't starve. Elijah was fed by birds every morning and every evening. After a while, his food was dried up, and God sent Elijah to a town called Zarephath.
There was a widow in Zarephath, whom God had told to tend. When Elijah arrived in the town, he saw the widow gathering wood for a fire. He asked her for a drink, and while she was going to fight the water, he also asked her for a piece of bread.
Elijah told her not to worry. He asked her to go. The poor lady had nothing left. The drought so devastated the land that both herself and her son were close to starvation. She was preparing her last supper when Elijah asked for her food. Elijah told her not to worry. He asked her to go home and make a small loaf of bread from the flour and oil she had left, then to cook for herself and her son. Elijah recognized that the widow had nothing left to give, but promised that if she gave him some bread, then she would never run out of flour or oil again.
The widow did exactly what Elijah had asked, and his words came true. She never ever ran out of flour or oil. It was an amazing miracle. The jars just kept refilling. They did not die of starvation, and they welcomed Elijah into their home to save them.
Okay, we're going to hear it again, and our second team are going to help us with this. So belt it out as loudly as you possibly can.
God was outraged at King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, and he sent Elijah to tell them that if they didn't worship God, he would stop the rain and cause the drought. They didn't worship God, so there was a severe drought in the land. Elijah, however, followed God's advice and found a spot near the Jordan River. He could drink water from the river, and unlike the rest of the country, he didn't stop.
Okay, this is really hard because you did that really, really well. It's quite a hard thing to be put on the spot like that, to both read publicly and to read the Bible publicly in the way that you did. And you all did really brilliantly. I'm just so impressed. So it's really hard to make a call on who did it better, so I'm going to call it a tie. Is that all right? So both teams win. So what would you like to do with the Ferrero Rocher, the supreme prize? Put it into the harvest? No? No? Is that not what we're saying? What are you saying? Split it between the two teams.
I'll give my one to the harvest.
Okay. You're giving your one to the harvest. Okay. I'll leave that to you to distribute. Who would like to take it then? Okay. One last. Okay. There you go. Let's just thank our teams again for helping out. And if you would like to all go and sit down again, that would be great. Remember your lovely, healthy bars as well that you won. Take them with you. Divide them amongst you. Eat them before the Ferrero Rocher. So it's a great story of what God has done. You know that story of Elijah and the widow. God provided. Both for Elijah, we know that he sent the ravens to feed him. And when we meet today to give thanks to the Lord, we remember it's not simply that Tesco supplies us with food and everything, but it's actually God that supplies us and our nation and the nations of the world with all that we need. There is enough in the world to feed everybody, and we sometimes forget that. The Lord provides us with all that we need. We also think today about Jesus, don't we? Because these things are often, when we read in the Old Testament something about God providing, it's often pointing to what God was going to do when Jesus, the Son of God, was sent into the world to break down the barrier that sin had created between God and human beings. Jesus is the one who makes it possible for us to be in relationship with God. And so we give thanks to the Lord today for him as well. He's the one who brings healing to us. He's the one who, through whom everything is made. So today, as we give thanks for God's goodness to us, we remember supremely him above all things, and we try to put him at the center of who we are and what we do. Now we're going to sing again, I think, is what we're going to do next. We're going to sing We Plough the Fields and Scatter. Have you brought anything with you that you're going to contribute to harvest? We're going to give what's given to the food bank in Kirstorfen that's run by Kirstorfen Community Church. So we're going to sing this great hymn. Great verses of this hymn. You might think, oh, we play the fields and scatter. We don't really do that ourselves. But the words of each verse are really, really significant, really, really helpful, and hopefully cause us to be thankful to God for his goodness. So let's stand, sing this. If you want to bring, if you've got anything with you and you haven't already brought it forward, then please do that during the singing of this, and then we'll give thanks to God for his goodness. Lord, may we know your help, your presence, your care in all that we do this week. May we go from here knowing that we are the church. And may we go seeking your kingdom. Build your kingdom here. Make your presence known. May many see you and wonder at your love and your care and your mercy and your provision. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen.